Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 28th of April, 2026, Zechariah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6. We've finished the 8 visions that Zechariah received in one night. And now we're going to have the crowning of Joshua the high priest. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Very excellent article, May, June issue of Israel My Glory. It's entitled, From One Hostage Crisis to Another. Israel turned a painful page in January when it received the body of Ron Gavili, the final remaining hostage that Hamas had held since 7 October 2023. Gavili was a 24-year-old Israeli police Special Forces officer who was on medical leave that fateful day. And yet he fought with everything he had at Kibbutz Alumim. Even while wounded, he continued to battle terrorists, protect civilians, and embody the fierce moral clarity of Israelis who ran toward danger instead of fleeing from it. His return offered closure to a nation that spent more than 2 years in the shadow of the captivity with empty chairs and yellow ribbon pins demonstrating solidarity with the hostages as they endured the suffocating uncertainty of what could happen to their loved ones. With Gavili's body home, Israel symbolically closed the book on the hostage crisis. But as one book closed, another quietly opened. Days earlier, Israel was confronted with what could become a new kind of captivity. Political, diplomatic, and far more complicated. It's called the Board of Peace. An invitation only. U.S.-led international organization was created in January to oversee the Gaza ceasefire, manage reconstruction, and weigh in on global conflicts. But its mandate is far broader and more global than rebuilding Gaza, which isn't even mentioned anywhere in its founding charter. Rather, the board seeks to promote stability, restore dependable and lawful governance, and secure enduring peace in areas affected or threatened by conflict. It exists outside the United Nations and is built to be faster, more centralized, and more insulated from bureaucracy. More than 20 nations quickly accepted the United States invitation to join the board, including Egypt, Indonesia, Jordan, Pakistan, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and the United Arab Emirates. Israel will sit on this council as well, but at what cost? Gaza is not an abstraction. It is not a geopolitical thought experiment. It is a strip of land the size of Washington, D.C., pressed directly against Israel's southern flank. Now, more than 20 countries, many with open hostility toward Israel, many with deep suspicion toward Israel, will have a seat at the table making decisions about the Jewish state's future, security, and daily reality. Turkey has spent the years since 7 October 2023 blasting Israel as the aggressor. Erdogan, the leader of Turkey, hates Israel totally. He's on the board. Qatar has served as a host, financier, and political shield for Hamas. Both are now stakeholders in Gaza's reconstruction and governance. This new board risks functioning like a quasi-United Nations, a very frightening prospect, given the UN's abysmal track record when it comes to the nation Israel. The United Nations has labeled Israel the world's worst human rights violator while barely whispering about the egregious abuses of countries like China, Venezuela, North Korea, and Iran. Now, It may have an unaccountable cousin with direct influence over Gaza's future and, by extension, Israel's future. Israel may have finished one hostage chapter only to begin another. One that is not forged with guns or tunnels, but with diplomats and subcommittees. It will now struggle not in the darkness of captivity, but around a conference table where decisions made thousands of miles away can hem in Israel, restrain its security, restrain its security options, and slowly chip away at its sovereignty. President Donald Trump currently serves as chairman of the Board of Peace, a position that carries enormous power and global influence. But what will happen when the next chairman steps in? Someone who may not share his concern for Israel and the Jewish people. The prophet Zechariah, as soon as I read that, here we are, Zechariah, Tuesday night. The prophet Zechariah warned of a day when the nations will gather against Jerusalem and the Lord himself will intervene. That's coming up in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Although we are not prophets and must be careful with our interpretation, it's hard to ignore this prophetic imagery when so many nations are now poised to weigh in on a sliver of land located a mere 50 miles from Jerusalem. Israel has received its final hostage from Gaza. May it not walk into another hostage crisis. All right, Zechariah chapter 6. We have studied and finished the 8 visions of Zechariah. In Zechariah 1 verse 7 through chapter 6 verse 8. That last vision, the vision of the 4 chariots, would reveal God's judgments on the nations, symbolized by war chariots covering the earth. After these visions, Joshua was crowned high priest, although it was only a symbolic act. His crowning was meant as a type, its typology, or a foreshadowing of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be crowned both priest and king when he returns at the second advent. The revelation in chapter 6 is a fitting culmination to the night visions, and it outlines prophetic events that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, will perform. So we're done with Zechariah 6, 1 through 8. Let's read that corrected translation one more time. Verse 1, then I turned once again and raised my eyes and looked, and behold, 4 chariots were coming from between 2 mountains, and the mountains were mountains of bronze. With the first chariot were red horses, with the second chariot black horses, with the third chariot white horses, and with the fourth chariot spotted horses or dappled horses. And all of them are very powerful. Then I spoke and said to the teaching angel who was teaching me, "What are these, my Lord?" And the teaching angel answered and said to me, Zechariah, "These are the four spirits of heaven, elect angels, going out from standing in the presence of the Lord of the whole earth in order to serve Him. The elect angel with the black horses is going toward the north country, Babylon. The elect angel with the white horses is going after them. The elect angel with the spotted horses is going to the south country, Egypt. Verse 7. When the strong and powerful horses went out, they were straining at the bit to traverse in this direction and that direction throughout the earth. And he said, go patrol the earth. So they patrolled the earth. Verse 8. Then he, the teaching angel, speaking for God the Father, called out to me, Zechariah, and spoke to me, saying, look, those going toward the north country have given rest to my spirit in the land of the north. That phrase, those going toward the north country have given rest to my spirit. They have appeased the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. It means they have appeased God's wrath by executing His judgment on the nations. They have satisfied the holiness of God by bringing judgment on the nations. This prophecy anticipates the future day of the Lord's judgment in the great tribulation, when God will destroy the evil system of Babylon and all of Israel's enemies. And only then will God's Spirit be appeased and have complete rest. Now that brings us to Zechariah chapter 6, verses 9 to 15. We just started the exegesis of verse 9, and in verse 9 we now have the crowning of Joshua. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, we have the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal imperfect of hayah, plus the construct of the noun davar, joined by a makef to the tetragrammaton, plus the preposition el with the first person singular suffix, and the cal infinitive construct of amer. The conjunction vav is the transitional vav and is correctly translated then, and the vav is also a conversive vav. This is unique to Hebrew. Conversive vav, converting the imperfect of the verb hayah to a perfect. And then the verb hayah means literally to fall out, to come to pass, to become. Figuratively, it's used in lively narrative, which is what we have. And it means to arise, to appear, to come. Once again, the conversive vav. Then the word of the Lord came. And we have the construct of davar plus the tetragrammaton. This is very powerful. Davar, there's the makef, and then the tetragrammaton. This is the construct of daver, Hebrew word for word, and here is the holiest name in the Old Testament scriptures, the tetragrammaton. It was so holy that the Jewish the Jewish people would not even pronounce it. They would look at that and say Adonai. If you actually read it, it would be Yahweh. We transliterated Jehovah, but they would never say the name. It was too holy. So this is Davar Jehovah, the word of the Lord. The word of Jehovah came, the word of the Lord came, and then the preposition El with the first person singular suffix, to me, Zechariah, and then the cal infinitive construct of Amer, saying. So the corrected translation. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Zechariah, saying. All right? That's as far as we got last week, so let's get a few points. One, every prophet had a message for the people of his own day. Every prophet had a message for the people of his own day. Zechariah's message has, first of all, to the people of his day. Two, however, many times he also had a message for some future day. Many times he also had a message for some future day. And that's certainly true with Zechariah. Three, this is the principle of dual fulfillment. Dual fulfillment. There is a near fulfillment and there is a far fulfillment. The principle of dual fulfillment, a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment. Four, in our passage, the near fulfillment is a message for the people of Zechariah's day, the coronation of Joshua the high priest. So in our passage, the near fulfillment is a message for the people of Zechariah's day, the coronation of Joshua the high priest. Five, the far fulfillment is a message for people living at the end of the tribulation. We're living in the church age. From Pentecost to the rapture, we're living in the church age. Following the rapture, the resurrection of the church, then we have the last 7 years of the age of Israel, the tribulation. 7 years in length, made up of two parts. The first 3.5 years, and then the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation. So the far fulfillment is a message for people living at the end of the tribulation. Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent, establishes his kingdom on earth, and we have the coronation of the Lord Jesus Christ after his second advent. So Christ will come back at the end of the tribulation, establish the millennial kingdom, 1,000-year reign on planet earth with world peace, great prosperity and blessing, perfect righteousness and justice. And he will be rule as both king and priest. The coronation of the Lord Jesus Christ at his second advent. Six, the near fulfillment occurred in 518 B.C., the near fulfillment occurred in 518 B.C., the coronation of Joshua the high priest. Seven, the far fulfillment will occur at the second advent, the coronation of the Lord Jesus Christ. As both king and priest. after the order of Melchizedek. So the corrected translation, then the word of the Lord came to me, Zechariah, saying, now in Zechariah 6:10, we have three people who came back from Babylon. Now you remember, Zechariah sent a warning to, there was a lot of Jews living in Babylon, and he sent a warning to them in Zechariah 2, verses 6 and 7. Attention! Move out! Flee from the land of the north. Flee from Babylon. Get out of Babylon, declares the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I have scattered you like the four winds of heaven, declares the Lord. Verse 7. Attention! Get going, O Zion, Jews living in Babylon. Escape, you who are still living with the daughter of Babylon. Well, that was the warning that Zechariah gave to, there was a large number of Jews living in Babylon. And they were making lots of money. They were making lots of money. They had great prosperity. They were multimillionaires. They had mansions. They had fantastic prosperity and details of life. And they didn't want to leave that. They didn't want to leave that and go to Jerusalem. And Zechariah gave them a warning. Get out. And for those who did not get out, well, Persia, which today is Iran, Persia attacked Babylon in the next few years and destroyed Babylon. And those Jews that stayed there died the sin unto death. Horrible. Terrific. But they didn't listen to the warning from Zechariah. These three did. These three did, and they left Babylon and came to Jerusalem. Well, they also, while they were in Babylon, they had lots of loot. They were wealthy, they had lots of money and prosperity, and they brought the loot with them. So they came to Jerusalem with heavy pockets, lots of money. And they helped finance the rebuilding of the temple, and provided the money to make this beautiful, fabulous crown for the crowning of Joshua the high priest. So we're going to meet these three musketeers, the three musketeers from Babylon. So here we go. Zechariah 6:10. Take of them of the captivity, even of, here's their names, Heldai, Tobijah, and of Jediah. This is the cal infinitive absolute of the verb lakak plus the preposition min prefixed to the direct object marker eth plus the noun gola with the definite article plus the preposition min prefixed to the proper noun Heldai plus the vav prefixed to the min with the direct object marker eth repeated, and this time with the proper noun Tobijah, and then the vav prefixed to the preposition men, the direct object marker once again, and plus the proper noun Yediah. So, first of all, the verb lakak. L-A-Q-A-C-H, lakak. Okay, now the verb lakak means to take or to take in your hand, or to receive a gift. And here, Zechariah is receiving a gift from these three, the three musketeers who came from Babylon back to Jerusalem. Zechariah is receiving a gift. So, one, Zechariah is to receive this gift, Mayet Hagolah. Mayet Hagolah. So this is May 8, M-E, Olive, E-T, and then Hagola, Gola is the noun, has a definite article. Hagola. May 8, Hagola. So Zechariah is to receive this gift, May 8, Hagola, and literally that May 8, Hagola means from the exiles. From the exiles. So too, when Zechariah gave the warning to the Jews who were living in Babylon, in Zechariah 2, 6 and 7, to get out of Babylon now, these three men responded and got out. So when Zechariah gave that warning to the Jews who were living in Babylon, Zechariah 2, 6, and 7, to get out of Babylon now, these three men responded and got out. Three, God and His Word was more important to them than money and the details of life. God and His Word was more important to them than money and the details of life. You know, we're living in a way, in our apostasy and degeneracy in America, we're creating our own Babylon, and there's, in this country, money is the god that's worshipped by people in the United States of America. Money, money, money. There's nothing wrong with money. You can have money and still have God and the Word of God number one in your priority. But unfortunately in our country, even Christians, God and His Word are not number one in their life. And that's sad. That's why we have a problem in America. But all throughout America, everything is centered around money, money, make money. When I went to Washington State University, I didn't go there to make money. I didn't ask them to pay me several million dollars so I could go run track at Washington State University. You didn't go and ask them to pay you millions of dollars to swim, did you? No, of course not. But today, now college, it used to be you went to a university to get an education. Now, you go to a university to make money. And this NIL is destroying athletics, but it's also, you see what the problem is in America. We have a God that we're worshiping, and that God we're worshiping is money. It's not the living and true God. It's not Jesus Christ. It's not the Word of God. It's money and prosperity and things like that. So point three, God and His Word was more important to them than money and the details of life. Four, the names of these three musketeers are Heldai, Tobijah, and Yediah. Heldai, Tobijah, and Yediah. Five, they got out of Babylon and they got into Jerusalem. Because that's where the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, they were building the temple, and the Holy of Holies was the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ there. That's where you had prophets and priests communicating the absolute truth of the Word of God. That's where you could get the truth of God's Word and worship the living and true God, Jesus Christ, there at Jerusalem. So they got out of Babylon, they got into Jerusalem, and they brought a lot of money with them. They brought a lot of money with them. Six, they provided the funds to help rebuild the temple and for the crowning of Joshua the high priest. They provided the fund to help rebuild the temple and for the crowning of Joshua the high priest. Seven. So Zechariah Lachacht, he received these gifts, May 8, Hagola, from the exile. Heldai, Tobijah, and Yediah. Now let's take a look at these three exiles. Exile number one. Now you have it in the English, Heldai. That's what you have in your English. That's not really what you have in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew it's Heldai. C-H-E-L-D-A-Y. That's what you have in the Hebrew. Heldai. So one. Now, Keldai comes from the verb kalev. I like this first exile. He's got a name, and I don't know, probably his parents gave him this name, Kalev, and he didn't like it. He changes his name. So first thing he did when he got to Jerusalem, he changed his name. You see, his name is Mr. Fleeting Pleasures of Life. That's his name. Well, when you live in Babylon with all the pleasures and details of life and money, well, he got named Mr. Fleeting Pleasures of Life. Kalev means to be smooth or to glide. That's the verb. The verb kalav means to be smooth or to glide. Two, the noun heldai means a transitory life, a temporary life, a fleeting life. So the noun means a transitory life, a temporary life, a fleeting life. Three, and this is putting the spotlight on the details of life. And this is Mr. Fleeting Pleasures of Life. Mr. Fleeting Pleasures of Life. That's the first exile. Four, as long as God and His Word are number one in your priority, and it is with Keldai. And because it is, he doesn't like his name. He's going to change it. It's like Saul changing his name to Paul. Keldai changed his name to Chelem. So as long as God and His Word are number one in priority, well, you can have the details of life and thoroughly enjoy the details of life. You can have the details of life and not be arrogant, as long as God and His Word are number one in priority. You can have pleasures of life and not be arrogant. You can have money and not be arrogant, as long as God and His Word are the number one priority in your life. Five. Now, Mr. Fleeting Pleasures of Life, Heldai, changed his name. He wanted to change his name, and he changed his name to Chelem, which when he got to back to Jerusalem, he changed his name to Chelem, and Chelem means the recipient of the Word of God. The recipient of the Word of God. You see, God and the Word of God were the number one priority of his life, and he wanted to demonstrate that. He didn't want to be Mr. Fleeting Pleasures of Life anymore. He wanted to have a name, the recipient of the Word of God. That's exile number one. Pretty cool dude. Exile number two, Tobiah. Actually, you pronounce it Tobiah. That's T long O B I Y A H. That's how it looks like in the Hebrew. In the English, you have Tobijah. All right, that's actually, if you look here, what do you see? Tov, that's the Hebrew word good. Yah, that's the word the Lord. So, one, Tobiah means pleasing to the Lord. Pleasing to the Lord. Two, he returned to Jerusalem because he was pleasing to the Lord. He returned to Jerusalem because he was pleasing to the Lord. Three, the believer who makes God and his word the number one priority of his life is pleasing to the Lord. The believer who makes God and his word the number one priority of his life is pleasing to the Lord. And then we have exile number three, Yediah. Now you have in the English, Jediah, but here's what it looks like in the Hebrew. We have Y, Shava, D, A, Ion, Y, A, H. That's how it looks in the Hebrew, Yediah. But in English, you have Jediah. One, Jediah means Jehovah knows him. See, here's Yah, there's the Lord, there's Yah-Dah to know. So we have, Jediah means Jehovah knows him or Jehovah provides for him. Two, the Lord knows him and therefore the Lord provides for him. Three, Jediah's life belongs to the Lord. So if the Lord says, get out of Babylon and get back to Jerusalem, then he says, let's light this candle. Let's get up and go. So the corrected translation. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Zechariah, saying, receive the gift from the exile, from Heldai, Tobijah, and Yediah. And then it goes on in the King James, who are come from Babylon and come the same day and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. And this is the relative pronoun asher, joined by a makef to the cow perfect of bo. We're going to have bo here several times. The preposition min, prefix to the proper noun babel. Babel, that's Babel. Plus the vav, prefix to the cow perfect of bo, repeated. Plus the personal pronoun atah. Plus the preposition beth, prefix to the noun yom. Plus the third person singular masculine personal pronoun who, with the definite article. You know, who is he? He is she, and me is who? This is who. Plus the vav, prefix to the cow perfect of bo, once again. Plus the noun bayith, with the proper noun Josiah, plus the noun Ben, joined by the Makef to the proper noun Zephaniah. All right. The relative pronoun Asher. Looks like that in the Hebrew, Aleph, A-S-H-E-R, Asher. Asher, you translate that relative pronoun who, and then the verb bo. B, long O, Aleph. Bo, that's the verb to come, who have come, and then mi babel, preposition min, prefix to Babel. There's the preposition min, M-I, and then Babel, that's Babylon. Me, Babel, from Babylon, who have come from Babylon. Receive the gift from the exiles, from Heldai, Tobijah, and Jediah, who have come from Babylon. And then the verb bo is repeated, but this time with atah bayom hahu. And it's correctly translated, and go the same day. And then we have the verb bo repeated a third time, but this time with beth Josiah, Beth Josiah, the construct of Baith for house, and the proper noun Josiah, and enter the house of Josiah. Then we have the noun Ben, the son of, and Zephaniah, the son of Zephaniah. So, corrected translation. Receive the gift from the exiles, from Heldai, Tobijah, and Jediah, who have come from Babylon, and go the same day and enter the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. All right, so Josiah, let's get a few things on Josiah. One, Josiah means Jehovah heals. Jehovah heals. Two, it's a Hebrew word for reconciliation. A Hebrew word for reconciliation. Three, Josiah illustrates the removal of the barrier between God and man. It illustrates the removal of the barrier between God and man. Four, this illustrates the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross directed toward man. This illustrates the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross directed toward man. Now these three musketeers from Babylon are told, Go find Josiah and get into his house the same day you get there. Josiah is a winner believer. You go to Josiah and you're going to stay in his house. So five, Josiah is a born again believer. He is a spiritually mature believer. And point six, when we get to verse 14, Josiah is given another name as well. When we get to verse 14, Josiah is given another name. And the name he's given is Chen, C-H-E-N. And this is the equivalent of the Greek charis, grace. This is the Hebrew word for grace. You can't have a better name than Chen or charis, grace. So in Zechariah 6:14, Josiah is given another name, Chen, grace. Seven, Chen is the Hebrew word for grace. The Hebrew word for grace. Eight, Josiah is a spiritually mature believer, a winner believer, a grace-oriented believer. He has maximum grace orientation. And when these three musketeers come from Babylon, they're told, you go right over and find Josiah and move into his house that day and stay with him. He will welcome you with open arms. Nine, Josiah is the son of Zephaniah. Now you're saying, oh, well, that's Zephaniah wrote one of the books. No, it's not that Zephaniah. So there you go. Josiah is the son of Zephaniah, but this is not the human author of the book of Zephaniah. All right? Now the preparation of the crown. The preparation of the crown. Zechariah 6, verse 11. Then take the silver and gold and make crowns. Now, where did Zechariah get Kesef and Zahav? From the three musketeers. They had lots of silver and gold that they brought with them. So this is the conjunction vav prefix to the cow perfect of lakak plus the noun kesef. I had a student at Dallas Theological Seminary, and he was one of our doctrinal students at Dallas, and one of his favorite words was kesef. He was always talking about kesef. Olson, you need some kesef? Yes. How much you got? Well, here we have old kesef joined by a makef to the conjunction vav prefix to the noun zahav, plus the conjunction vav prefix to the cow perfect of asa, plus the plural of the noun atarah. The conjunction vav, prefix of the verb lakak, is the transitional vav, and it may be correctly translated and then lakak, to take, the verb to take, and then we have kesef v'zahav. Kesef, K-E-S-E-P-H. There's the conjunction vav, V-E, and then the noun Z-A-H-A-B. Kesef v'zahav. Silver and gold. And then we have the verb asa. looks like that in Hebrew. I-N-A-S-A-H, asa. And one, asa, literally means to do or to make. A verb that means to do or to make. Two, asa means to manufacture something out of something. To manufacture something out of something. Three, Zechariah was to fashion an elaborate crown from the silver and gold brought by the three musketeers. Zechariah was to fashion an elaborate crown from the silver and gold brought by the three musketeers from Babylon. Four, the word for crown is atarah. I-N-A-T-A-R-A-H. Hebrew word for crown. Now, it's in the plural. And could be translated crowns, except there's only one crown made. So what? How does this apply then? Five, this is a double-ringed crown. A double-ringed crown. Symbolic of the priestly and kingly diadem the Messiah will wear at his coronation at the second advent. This is a double-ringed crown, symbolic of the priestly and kingly diadem that the Messiah will wear at his coronation. Six, thus Joshua's crowning was a type or foreshadowing of the Messiah's crowning as both priest and king. See, Joshua is just a high priest. He's not a king. He's just the high priest. But this is a type, and it foreshadows the Messiah's crowning as both priest and king. That's why we have a double-ringed crown. So Joshua's crowning was a type or a foreshadowing of the Messiah's crowning as both priest and king. Seven, Heldai, Tobijah, and Yediah brought the silver and the gold from Babylon to make this very special crown. Heldai, Tobijah, and Jediah brought the silver and gold from Babylon to make this very special crown. Eight, Joshua the high priest will wear this crown once. Just one time. Then it will be placed in the temple as a memorial to the fact that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is coming again as the King Priest after the order of Melchizedek. So Joshua the high priest will wear this crown once, and then it will be placed in the temple as a memorial to the fact that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is coming again, second advent, and he will be crowned king and priest. 9. This crown represents everything that happens in the book of Revelation. This crown represents everything that happens in the book of Revelation. 10. They didn't have the book of Revelation, but they do have this special crown as the memorial placed in the temple. They didn't have the book of Revelation, but they do have this special crown that is placed in the temple as the memorial. And take the silver and gold and make a crown. All right, we'll take it up here next time, next week. I imagine I'll still be here. I'm still wearing the monitor and it hasn't exploded or anything. But they got to look at that to see whether or not I qualify for a new knee. If the doctor says no, I'm not going to authorize it. Well, I'm just going to keep you. You get to look at me hobble up here with my. I don't care. It's just pain. Pain is just pain. I don't care about pain. If you ran the intermediate hurdles, you'd know what pain was. Anybody can run the high hurdles or run a 100-yard dash. There's no pain there. You try running 400 meters full speed, going over hurdles. Your body goes from aerobic to anaerobic at 300 meters. That means you are getting oxygen by breathing into your body, but at 300 meters, it goes to anaerobic. And I mean, it is so tough. That last 100 meters coming in, and I had all my friends at WSU, they'd say, Dick, they called me Dick, call me Pastor Olson, they call me Dick. You were smiling when you came down the last 100 meters. You were smiling. And I go, are you crazy? I wasn't smiling. I was grimacing. Now that's pain. But I had a principle that I lived by when I was running track, and I have it today. Pain is my friend. Pain is my friend. And when you have that, operate by that, pain is my friend. So they say, you don't qualify for this? No problem. Pain is my friend. And I'm just running intermediate hurdles up here every time I try to get up here and teach. So we'll take it here next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.